So Billy Hutchison, it's your fourth conference as the PUP leader. What's your vision for the PUP? What's your vision?
Well, I mean, I think the vision for the PUP is that we have a number of activists on the ground who will actually work for people in disadvantaged areas, and we'll also talk to businesses and the working class areas about how we actually support that. Because I think that, you know, if we don't get support from middle class areas recognising that there are a problem in working class communities around disadvantage and educational underachievement and health problems, then we'll not sort this out. But for me, the vision is, how do we actually grow a society where we can get down to dealing with the real issues?
And what do you think of the kind of the children of today who you'll be kind of maybe like handing over Northern Ireland to? What do you want for them? What do you want them to experience that was different to today?
Well, I suppose what I want them to do is that I want them to be living in a society where there's no violence, political violence. I think I want them to actually have an educational system that suits everybody. And, you know, so from that point of view, that's the sort of thing. Because I think it's important that our young people, you know, get an education. Now, you know, we can't create Einsteins in everybody. That'll not happen. But what we can do is that we can actually make sure that when those young people go through a school system, they come out the other end and they've reached their optimum.
In your conference speech, you referred to that society was asking people with a reading age of 9 to do a test which requires a reading age of 11. Your views on post-primary testing?
Well, I mean, and my difficulty is, like, you know, and back in 89, I did a bit of questioning of people, you know, principals in the Shankill area, you know, because that's where I came from and I was interested in doing this. And, you know, whenever you asked the primary school children, or sorry, whenever you asked sort of nursery said the parents hadn't got them prepared, so they weren't potty trained or whatever. Then whenever you asked the principals of the primary schools, they were saying, well, the nurseries didn't send us unprepared because they couldn't hold a fork and knife. And then when you went to secondary school, they obviously said, oh, these children are coming here totally unprepared. You know, they've got reading ages of 9 and even less. So therefore, each blamed each other. And I think it's a question of how do we actually get the system right in each of those. And, you know, there's experiences from all around the world, but there's also experiences that exist. I mean, you know, I know a number of principals who turned around schools in Belfast and outside of Belfast and have done a very good job. And I think that, you know, as I said in my discussion, we need to incentivise people to do that and need to make sure that we, in many ways, not get rid of the older teachers, but I mean the teachers who are ready for retirement, we need to replace them with the younger teachers. But those younger teachers, I think, need to understand that this is about learning.
But is that vision of education being lost when the larger unionist parties are very pro-grammar school protesting?
Well, it is lost on that basis, and I think that now what we have to do is that we're putting sticking plaster on by funding NEETs. I think what we need to do is not about funding NEETs. I think it's about making sure there's a strategy around NEETs with the right amount of money to do that.
But on that issue, do you need to form alliances with John O'Dowd, you know, Sinn Féin, and say this is something we haven't got?
I think that we need to form alliances with lots of people, including teachers, principals, John Millis, Queens, yes, and other political parties. There's no question about that. But the question for me is that, you know, children that are Protestant and from a working class background aren't born stupid. So we need to work out what is the difference or why does this happen. And the other thing is we can't sustain the number of different schools that we have. We need to actually do something about it. But, I mean, that's another discussion and it's going to take a long time to get to. But, I mean, you know, we have a problem around Catholic and Protestant schools in terms of how they're, what they're called, and I think that we also need to make sure that you know, whatever the teaching is, that it's the same quality right across, and you just don't give it to one, you give it to everybody.
A couple of weeks ago, Scottish independence, the referendum failed, and yet there will be increased devolution. Will that be unsettling for loyalists, as in a sense the United Kingdom does kind of at least doesn't quite break apart, but it does kind of have more diversity in each region?
Well, I mean, I think what they're doing is they're decentralising, and I think we would support that notion of decentralisation. I think that, you know, we need to embrace that. I mean, and, you know, I've said this and I'll say it again, you know, I'm not a British citizen amongst 1 million, I'm a British citizen amongst 63 million. And, you know, and that means very clearly that, you know, I have an affinity with that whole Britishness. And, you know, I always say that Yorkshire is my second home. And from that point of view, I think that we need to get on with this, and we need to recognise the multicultural differences and the multicultural sort of difference of Belfast and Northern Ireland and what it did 20 years ago. You know, we had an influx of foreign nationals in the 50s, and they tended to assimilate into our community. But, you know, now people won't assimilate because they're coming you know, quite a lot together. So what we need to do is that we need to embrace them, and we need to make sure that they're treated and they have the same rights as any other citizen that lives in the UK.
Could the PUP do more, though, to be heard to say that?
Well,
I think, Alan,
I think the difficulty is that the media don't want to hear it, and that's maybe too strong to say that.
Is that because it's not being said, or because they're
well, it
biased?
Is being said. I mean, you know, I said whenever there was a Hungarian, and they said it was a racist attack on a Hungarian family. There was 15 people living in a house. Now, whether it was a racist attack or not is immaterial. But my argument then was that, you know, in the 50s, and I was born in 1955, so, you know, in the 50s and 60s, you know, I was going to school with people who certainly weren't from Northern Ireland. You know, they were Indians, they were Pakistani, and, you know, so from that point of view, you know, they were there, and, you know, it never occurred to me or meant anything to me that just because their skin colour was different that we would be different. They were just there, they lived in our community, and we accepted that, and I think it, you know, that's what sort of didn't, it annoyed, not annoyed me, but it concerned me that somebody had been well, it was called a racist attack, because we've never had those in the Shankill before. Because, you know, we have people who work in the food industry, like the Chinese and the Indians and the Turks, and they're all working there, and you know, they've never been touched. So it was a bit surprising that that would happen. And, you know, as a representative of that, I always prided myself in that these racist attacks weren't happening. But we do need to embrace people.
Does that embracing need to then start to lead into membership of the party? I mean, today it's noticeable from the last couple of years, a lot more women, maybe 40% in the kind of audience today, getting younger each year.
And I suppose you didn't hear, you may have been late, but you didn't hear our member who has a Dublin accent.
So you're increasing diversity, but I don't see the diversity isn't extending into
I think that's what we need to do. And I think there was an argument. I remember going and talking to people who were in a branch, and they were concerned that people were getting letters from Sinn Féin, and it was in their own language, and those people were going out and voting Sinn Féin, not because they were supporters of a Republican struggle or anything else, but because Sinn Féin was actually communicating to them. Now, going back a number of years, I can remember that I think it may have been the 98 Assembly election, we were the first party to actually do our literature in Cantonese and Urdu. So we've done all this before, and I think we need to get back to that, and we need to encourage people to join the party.
Yeah. In terms of kind of expanding the party, other unionist leaders, Peter Robinson, every couple of years comes out with a big kind of outreach towards kind of Catholic voters, and saying that those who are soft unionists or pro-union should consider the DUP. Should you be reaching out to working class Catholics and saying, stand up for your issues?
Well, if I'm working, I suppose in many ways what I want to do is that I want to convince middle class Catholics that they're safe, that they live in the United Kingdom and they're citizens and they have dual nationality. So therefore they can carry whichever passport they want, and I want to convince them that Northern Ireland is a place for them to live. It's free of discrimination.
But polling suggests they are quite convinced.
They are, but I mean, I think at the present time they may go the other way. So we need to convince them that they need to stay here. They need to help build that community. And we would say to anybody who feels they're unionist that they could join the Progressive Unionist Party. You aren't stopped because of your religion, but you have to be a unionist to join it.
Lastly, we're in the season of talks as well as conferences. Secretary of State has talks coming up. There are various other commissions being kind of run by shadow Secretary of States and so on. Are you looking forward to taking part in those and changing things?
Well, I think it's in the first instance we haven't been invited. And the second one is we haven't seen the format. And for me, to make a decision, we need to get invited, and then we need to see the format, because the format's very important. And I had a telephone conversation with the Secretary of State where I told her that, you know, there is no point in inviting us into talks to stand on the lawns. We need to be invited in because people value that we have something to say. And if that's the case, then, you know, we will do all of that. But, you know, we need to find out what the format is, and we need an invitation. So once we get both of those, then we make up our mind what we're doing.
Thank you very much, Billy.